Please. Deuteronomy chapter 34. We come to this last message in the life of Moses, the man of God. And very simply, as we think about his death, I have given us this message, dying as Moses died. Dying as Moses died. And I really draw attention to the whole chapter that we're going to be considering, but I just want to read a couple of verses before we pray. So Deuteronomy chapter 34, I'll read from verse 5. We read these words. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he, that is God, buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And while we're going to look at the whole chapter, we'll just read those verses, and we know that God will bless his precious and his holy word to our hearts. Let's seek him together in prayer for these next few moments. Our Father and our God, how we bless thee this day, that when we think of life and we think of death, we must always think of Christ. We must live for him, and so we must die in him. Oh, that we would say with the Apostle Paul, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And whether we're young or old this day, we're never in a place where we must not consider our latter end. May we think much of it, and as we contemplate Moses one more time, O Father in heaven, pour out now thy gracious blessing. Prepare us in our hearts room for the word. And may we not be those distracted by another day, but concern ourselves with this time, this hour, this moment, and this message. And if we ourselves are not saved this day, may we not face death unprepared, not ready and unsaved. May the Lord make ready every one of us this day to seek him, and so ready for death itself and ready for eternity. Fill me now with thy spirit, I pray, and bless all of your dear people. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. On the 1st of March, and I mentioned this briefly online in the course of the week, on the 1st of March, we saw the anniversary of the death of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Unquestionably, I believe one of the most significant preachers and influences of recent times. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones died on that day, that is the 1st of March, 1981, at the age of 82. And the manner in which Dr. Lloyd-Jones died was, we might say, indicative of how the man lived his life. It is said that when he was dying and he was unable to speak, that he took a piece of paper and he wrote these words, very simple words on the paper, and he said in the writing, don't pray for healing. Don't pray for healing. Don't hold me back from the glory. What a tremendous way to finish his days. And 3 days later, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones was in the glory, and he received the well done of God. Well, this morning we turn, for me only, I don't know if I can speak for you, but with a tinge of sadness in my own heart to this last message. Any time I would go through a series or go through a study of this nature, you start to feel part of the individual. It's been maybe a long journey, we might say, but I believe it's been profitable as we've gone through this character study through a number of Old Testament books. But the time has come, and we've turned this morning one final time to the death of another pillar and giant of the faith, Moses, the man of God. And we turn to this last chapter in Deuteronomy chapter 34 that was most likely recorded by the one that would follow, that was Joshua, the servant of God. And in this chapter, it provides for us insight not only in how men and women regarded and viewed Moses as an individual, in the way in which they mourned for him and they grieved for him and they lamented his passing for many days, but more importantly, the regard and the consideration that God himself had for Moses. Because remember, child of God, that is only what matters. The view and the consideration the Lord himself has of us in our final days and as we enter into death. Verse 10, in many respects, might be key for us. There arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And that really is the summary of it all. If we could condense all of our messages, if we could bring all of these studies together in one message, in one volume, and say, what must we learn? Well, we can learn this, that paves the way for a greater truth. There was quite none like him. And you say, well, why, Pastor, would that be the message that we must consider? And I'll explain very simply why. Because throughout this series, I have tried to make sure that while we must be impressed with a man like Moses, and we must be influenced by the stature and the caliber of this man and how he lived his life, we always recognize that when everything is said and done, that he's a man who had his own sins. He had his own shortcomings and he had his own mistakes, and we've dealt with them on various occasions. We have been reminded on some occasions that we're dealing with a man who is flesh and blood, just like every single one of us. And the point is this, that when the Lord emphasizes, for example, in the likes of verse 10, that there is none which arose in Israel that was quite like Moses, the man of God, the whole intention of God in the midst of it, Christian, is to direct you and me to the greater than Moses every single time. Every single time we are being directed to him who is the greater than Moses, the greater than Joshua, the greater than David. And I have not done my job well as a preacher and a pastor in this church if that has not been my emphasis. And so I make it again today, and I make it clearly. Whatever high views we have of God's servant, they must never be worshipful. And while we might respect the man and we admire the man, we do not adore the man that was Moses, the man of God. And neither would Moses want that himself. You see, Moses is used, as with all of these characters in Holy Scripture, as a conduit and a means to direct us to one who is a far greater prophet. The great prophet, the last prophet, Jesus Christ. One who is the effectual priest. And the one who is the sovereign king, our Lord Jesus. And I trust and pray that it's been a prevailing theme all throughout our messages. With that said, and with that underlined, emphasized as much as I can, we have also noted the many practical things which have come out of Moses' life that apply to us. And really, that's what we're going to be thinking about at length as we think of this message this morning. And we're going to think about the death of Moses, the man of God, how he dies, the manner in which he dies, and what an immense challenge it is for you and me as Christians, if we are saved today, about how we must die. We must die as Moses died. And so we're going to think about this message, dying as Moses died. Firstly, as we think about dying as Moses died, we must die in sight of what God has prepared for us. Dear Christian, I speak particularly to those who are saved this day. We must die and contemplate death in light of what God has prepared for every child of God. And for that, we're just going to really glance briefly at verses 1 to 4 before we go any further. Now, what we find in the opening part of Deuteronomy chapter 34 is that in Moses' last moments before his death, he's given one more journey to take. It's one more ascent. It's one more climb. In a sense, it's one more pilgrimage. And we find in these verses that he's going to be given one more glimpse of a land that God had promised to his fathers. And if you look at that passage and you read it yourself, you'll see you've got that traditional list which is given of the patriarchs, to Abraham, to Isaac and Jacob and so forth. And there he is, he takes his journey. And Moses is set to embark and to climb the mountain range of Pisgah, and particularly to reach the summit or the peak of that range, which is Nebo. Now, for an equivalent, we might say it's as if we're going to tackle the Himalayan range and reach Everest, something which, of course, I probably can say I'll never do in my lifetime. Maybe things will change. Who knows? I could eat those words in the future. But what it meant is this. In terms of the height and the elevation that was given to him, what a sight. Any of us, of course, that you know like views and we like sights and we like to see things, when you maybe ascend up to a certain height, it's a panoramic view which is afforded to you. And you get to see all the things. And again, it's something we've looked at on other occasions of Moses. He sees things as he ascends, whether it's Sinai, whether it's Pisgah or other areas, or Nebo as we have it here. And the Lord says, Moses, see all the land. See everything which I've given to the fathers and to Israel. It's that which I've promised. It must have been a breathtaking view. And the Lord reinforces this all to him in verse 4. This is the land which I swear. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over. You're going to see it with your eyes, Moses. It's not for you to enter in. And it's just one of those another reminders. He's just a man. He fell short in a sense. This was, in a sense, something he was going to lose out on. But with all that to one side, he's still given this glimpse. And as he stands there on this mountaintop, on Nebo itself, he sees what will be an earthly inheritance for a time, for a people. Ah, but is he not given another glimpse? Because now he's in an elevated place. And he's going to think of his own death. And of an even greater land that awaits him. The eternal glory that he's going to inherit. And you know, for Moses, the sight and the glimpse that he's given was something that he must have even in these moments of his life. And as we die, as Moses died, it must be with a sight to what God has prepared for every child of God. And with that in mind, I really ask you a challenging question as I ask it to my own heart. Where is our sight currently? And where are our thoughts presently as God's people? And as we approach maybe the onset of years and the increasing strains of the physical body, and maybe as our years we think are ticking by, doesn't seem as if we have long left. Where is our gaze and our focus and our attention? In Hebrews 11:13, we read of the Old Testament saints that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them and they embraced them. While they saw them at a distance, they were persuaded and they embraced them. And that must be true of every child of God. And like Moses, we too are in that place where sometimes our eternal inheritance, it seems a distant view. This has nothing sometimes to do with how old we are or young we are. Sometimes it can just be the current state of our Christian life. We're too earthly preoccupied. We're thinking about this world too much. We've got all of our plans and our ideas and our thoughts. And we give little, maybe no attention to what shall be. But as we find the years begin to accumulate, and maybe it's with the onset of age or it's the onset of physical problems or whatever it might be, we start to realize that horizon is getting that little bit closer every day. What thoughts have we given towards glory and towards our eternal home? After all, that is our truest abode. This is only for a time. As we often say, we're only passing through. We do not want to be those, child of God, we do not want to be those who have little or no thought of what heaven shall be. Now think of what we do in an everyday sense. We all like to have our holidays, don't we? We all like to plan ahead to the Julys and the Augusts or maybe the Easter time, and we've got things written down. And maybe it's somewhere we want to go as a family. Maybe it's something we want to see. And there are people that are very good at planning their holidays, and others that maybe it's a last minute sort of jack situation where they just do everything in that last moment. But there's that anticipation. What are we going to do? How are we going to spend our time? And people might have things set out for every day. And we can live like that on earth. Nothing wrong with that in a sense. What thoughts do we give to glory? What time do we spend contemplating what will be our eternal home? And so there's a need, isn't there? There's a need as we seek to live, and then we will die as Moses died. Moses had to go alone. He had to be set apart alone. There's no word of anyone going with him. He's climbing that mountain. He's surveying the land. I know that that physical land is not for me, but there's a land which is fairer than day. And I know I'm entering, I'll be gathered unto my Father, as Moses could say. And he must give attention to it. We didn't want to be those who, if given the awareness that our death is impending, have to admit that our thoughts of a better land, of an unbroken fellowship with the Lord, have been few and far between. What a terrible thing to reach the end of your days having never thought of eternal glory. It's often been said, and I say this carefully, it's often been said that some believers are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. And in a sense, we always know what that means. But can I say that this morning, it can also be said that many so-called Christians are so earthly minded, they're no heavenly good. We don't want to be so earthly minded. We're to have our eyes set upon what shall be. That's how we die as Moses died. After all, that's what the Apostle Paul says to believers in Colossians 3 in verse 1. We're to set our affections on that which is above. And Paul directs you, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's how you die as Moses died. There's something else we can also consider in this passage. We must die as Moses died in serving God and God's plan for us. In serving God and God's plan for us. Look at verse 5 and verse 6. We read that Moses, the servant of the Lord, he died. And you've got this little phrase that God gives you in the Bible. It says, according to the word of the Lord. Can I say that every single death is according to the word of the Lord? It always will be. But here, the literal rendering is something along these lines, at the mouth of the Lord, at the spoken word of the Lord, as God had said and God had stated, so he died. Prior to this, in other occasions, Moses had pleaded for more time, in a sense. Let me go over, Lord. Let me see the land. Let me taste the milk and the honey. Let me go over the Jordan. Let me see the conquering of these lands. That wasn't given to him for the reasons we've dealt with on other occasions. Moses is reminded one more time, you're going to die. And now there's no more protest. And now there's no more pushback. And now there's no more sense in which he puts up the barriers. It's according to the mouth of God, the commandment of the Lord. And while it's an unspoken willingness, there's a willingness here. He's ready. Isn't it wonderful to be ready? For the unsaved, what a struggle, the prospect of death. What a fight. And none of us want to see it, do we? Christian or non-Christian. But for the child of God, even as Dr. Lloyd-Jones could say, don't keep me back from the glory. Don't hold me back. I'm ready. I'm willing to go. I'm ready. Oh, only the servant of God, only the child of God could ever be found in such a place to say such a thing. And when you say that, it says much and it speaks volumes of what you have been as a Christian and how you've lived as a child of God. Ah, so how have we lived? Die like Moses died, as a servant of the Lord. And that brings us to what the Lord identifies in verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died. Christian, look at the words. Read your Bible, see it for yourself. Don't just take in into the ears, but take it into your heart. Who was this mighty man of God? He knew the Lord face to face. He was a prophet without equal. He was a man who saw mighty miracles taking place through him. And yet the one thing that the Lord puts on record and says of this man is that my servant died. He's the servant of the God, the servant of the Lord. That's who he is. That's the final word which is given. It was Matthew Henry who said, it is more useful to be the servant of the Lord than to be the king in Israel. And what a true word that is for us. You know, it gives us, first of all, this title, servant of the Lord, a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ, glorious picture of our great Savior, who is the chosen, faithful servant of Jehovah, who, as the Bible says, took upon him the form of a servant, and who died, and through his death, all believers will enter eternal glory. And look, we must never underestimate the level and depth and humiliation our Savior endured for our sakes, more than Moses, far more than Moses, across many levels. Moses suffered extraordinarily. Moses, remember, was accused, he was plotted against, he was rejected, he was ignored, and more often than not, and always perfectly, as a servant of the Lord, he showed great meekness to bear to tolerate the reproaches and to bring them to God in prayer. He demonstrated what it meant to live as a servant of God in this world. But even Moses knew times when it was a bit too much for him, and he finally broke, and you know, times when the anger came out and he hit the rock when he shouldn't have struck it, twice. And times when maybe he fell apart in his own thoughts. He was a mighty servant, but he was an imperfect one. We recognize that, but still a servant, not so of Jesus Christ. As I said, we're always going higher here to the great Savior, the great servant. A servant of God who took upon him all our approach and all of our rejection. And can I say this to you? And I want to make this abundantly clear. When you remember the humiliation and the servitude of our Lord Jesus Christ, he did not do this as some sort of humanitarian quest to make himself respectable in the eyes of the world. This was not the pursuit of the Savior to better himself. Can I say, when our Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself and took upon him the form of a servant and lived as a servant, it was not to earn righteousness for himself. His was perfect, but to earn it for us, to give you and me perfect righteousness in Christ. And that must always be in our view. Here is our great Savior who served, who washed the feet of his disciples, who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give his life a ransom for many, as the scripture says. And here is the foreshadowing of Christ. Moses, my servant. Now then, what of you and me? How will we live? And how will we die? Must it not be as servants? Must it not be as servants? Yes, as sons. Yes, as daughters of God. Yes, as children of your Father. Yes, as adopted. Yes, as justified and as being sanctified. But servants. Servants. How will you come to the end of your days? How many days are marked for you in God's divine calendar? How much of March do you have left? How much of this week? And God forbid, if it's me that stands around your grave, or others in this church, what will they say? And more importantly, what will the God say of us according to his word? Is it a good life for you that you've lived your life successful? You've built up your business. You've earned your money. You've saved for your children. You've got a good inheritance for them. Maybe a successful life for you this day is that you've raised a family, good morals. Then maybe gone astray as much as others. Maybe some have, I don't know. Matters not in this sense. You've accomplished many things. You've achieved, you've accumulated, you've bettered yourself. You've got titles and accolades and you've got honors. You've got all of these things. But you haven't died, or you won't die as a servant of God. It's good and faithful servant, the Lord will say. Those are the words. Our life must not be a quest to gather the praise of this world, because it means nothing ultimately. But rather to know the well done of God as those who are saved and then those who serve. Dying as the servant of the Lord brings with it immense challenge. It means denial of self and self-interests. And it means wholehearted giving of your life to God. But that is not exclusively the call of the pastor, minister, elder, or full-time Christian. It's every child of God is called upon to serve. And to serve God. Will you die as a servant as well as a son and a daughter of God? Well, as we finish and we come to really our last thoughts in the life of Moses, dying as Moses died means that we die in sweet fellowship with the Lord with us. We die in sweet fellowship with the Lord with us. You know, one of the most touching scenes or things we can see in life is when loved ones rally around their family members in their last moments. I've seen many of you do that, and I am seeing many of you do that. And it's good and it's right. It can be challenging, it's difficult, it's hard, it can be grueling, it can be taxing in many ways, but biblically it's right. And I pray for you, and I trust that God will give you much grace and help and strength to care for your loved ones in their last moments. And you can draw immense comfort from this, that none care for the people of God as God does in the last. And here you see it, don't you? Look at verse 6. And the Lord buries him. I mean, this is remarkable. It's a unique thing in many respects. And he buries him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. Now, some conjecture that angels would have been used for this solemn task. Possibly would have been the case. I can't say for sure. But all that we know is that the Lord gave the world Moses. And the Lord raised Moses. And the Lord preserved Moses. And the Lord kept Moses. And the Lord encouraged him and rallied him and restored him. And the Lord took Moses. And the Lord buried Moses. And uniquely of Moses, in the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord brought back again. I think giving us an encouragement of our future day as well. The Lord cared for him. The Lord cares for all of his saints. And in the midst of that care and that fellowship, it demonstrates the level of communion that Moses enjoyed of the Lord. And that's the fitting way in which his life finishes here. And we see something to stir our own hearts and possibly anticipate in our life before our death. And what is it we can learn in terms of sweet fellowship with the Lord? Well, as Moses died, so we must die, showing a vigor that maybe none would ever expect. Look at verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. I'm exhausted thinking about that. I really am. 120 years old. Old. I'm exhausted now, and I'm only 21, you know, so I know, a bit older than 21, but we're the same, aren't we? And this remarkable thing is given to us here. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural force abated. It's miraculous to a certain degree, and very few, if any, will ever experience what this means, because, you know, we'll lose our sight, we'll lose our hearing, we'll lose our memory, we'll lose our strength. We'll lose areas of our capacities. And although we may die in frailty and old age, it does not mean we must die spiritually impotent. Let the spiritual truth of these words come to the fore, that our spiritual eye is not dim and our spiritual strength is not abated. How must we die, Christian? Even if you're weary and tired and there's little you can do physically right now, and we know others in their homes who are unable to be in the house of God, but you can die with a closer walk with God. You can die with a sweet fellowship with Christ. You can die with a spiritual force and a power that has not been abated. And in the words of 2 Corinthians 4:16, but though the outward man perish, the inward man can be renewed day by day. That's true. Thank God that's true. Die like Moses died, in sweet fellowship with God. And die as Moses died, in living out a faith that none could ever excuse. The last words spoken of Moses were along these lines: look at this man and what I did through him. Verse 12, and in all that mighty hand and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. And when Moses was first called, all those messages are back, and we know the passage well. And there was Moses. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't speak. I don't have the mouth. I don't have the persuasive skills. I don't have the tongue. You've got to send someone else. He's not going to listen. Pharaoh's too strong. He's too tough. He's too obstinate, and so on and so forth. And now we see this man, and he was a terror. Not in the bad sense of the word, but used by God to do mighty things. Oh, well, what's the secret? How can this be me? Yes, it can, in other ways. Do you know why? Hebrews 11:27 gives you the answer. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's how you die. That's how you die, by seeing him who is invisible. And that's always the key, Christian. A faith rooted in God and his gracious promise to save. A faith in the greater than Moses himself, in a coming Redeemer. And so we endure and we press on to the end. And we die the death of the righteous. And we say with the hymn writer, while I draw this fleeting breath, and when my eyelids close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, and see thee on thy judgment throne, rock of ages, care for me. Let me ever hide myself in thee. Die as Moses died. May God bless his word to us.